welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network. I'm your hostess, Pat Rulo. We bring you hand-selected hosts, podcasts, and talk radio programming with listening options, 24/7 streaming or listen on demand. We also feature one-on-one segments with important guests, people who have something to say that you need to hear. And if you have something to say and would like to be featured on the network, please visit speakuptalkradio.com for all of the details or contact us at PR@speakuptalkradio.com. Well, right now, I have a special guest who is no couch potato, and you'll soon find out why. She is PJ Sharon. In addition to her day job as a massage therapist, personal trainer, and yoga instructor, PJ is an award-winning author of a dozen young adult books. Her debut nonfiction title, Overcome Your Sedentary Lifestyle, is a holistic living self-help guide packed with easy-to-implement tips, sure to motivate today's sedentary masses toward a more balanced and active lifestyle. PJ has two sons and lives with her husband in the Berkshire Hills of Western Massachusetts, where she enjoys kayaking, hiking, and hibernating with the bears throughout the long New England winters. We know about that in Northeast Ohio as well. And I just know we are about to learn quite a bit more. So welcome to the show, PJ.
Hi, Pat. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm looking forward to this. I know I'm going to learn something. As I was thinking about visiting with you, I was thinking how sedentary I've become with my job. So I know I'm going to pick up a few tips here as well. But before we begin, here's an interesting tidbit about you that we did not mention. You hold a black belt in Shaolin Kempo Karate, and you are a former figure skating and power skating instructor. Now, that's important information to know.
Yeah, it was a while back, but I still have those skills in me.
Well, now, before we delve into your sedentary lifestyle book, let's talk about your other books. Now, you say, although my stories are about teens and for teens, adult readers will enjoy the romantic journeys of my characters, all those first kisses, family dramas, and emotional roller coaster rides that make us remember our own experiences in a fresh light. And I sure remember those as well. Why is it that you write for teens?
Well, you know, I had a pretty tumultuous teen life myself. And when I started writing, for adults. I was writing adult romance. And because of several reasons, partly because of my job as a massage therapist and treating clients, I was like, I can't have my clients read these things. And so I wanted to go with something a little tamer. And I thought, you know, someone had mentioned that my writing was really wonderful, but that they wanted a deeper point of view and suggested that I try writing in first person point of view. So I sat down and started writing in first-person point of view, and my teen self, you know, came right out on the page, and I started telling my stories, and I found that that was really where my voice was strongest, and I had some things to say about my teen life, so things that I thought other teens could benefit from, lessons that I learned, but not in a preachy way. You know, when you're writing fiction, it's a story about someone else, but you can really infuse your own your own experiences into that. And that felt right to me.
Well, I love that. You think you're heading in one direction. Somebody makes a suggestion and could have taken that suggestion or not, but you did and switched to first person and there you were, right?
Yes. Yeah. It was eye-opening and very cathartic. Writing those teen books is a way to really express my voice, you know, from my 17-year-old self.
Well, it's kind of like therapy for you.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is, indeed.
Yep. How many books have you written for teens?
I just published my 12th.
Wow.
So apparently I had a lot to say.
And you're still not done, are you?
No, I'm not.
Well, now you have children, too.
My sons are grown, but my youngest son now has given me a granddaughter who's 4, and she has two older sisters that are 11 and 9.
Okay.
So we're heading into that, and the 11-year-old loves my book. I would have thought she was too young for them. Kids today, she said, oh, I've read The Hunger Games. I can read your books. Okay, give it a try, and she loves them. So.
Wow. How exciting for her to say that her grandmother's an author and shares that with her friends as well.
Yeah, and she's starting to write books herself at 11 years old. She's decided she's such an avid reader that she wants to start writing. So I feel happy to have inspired her.
Absolutely. What a role model. What a gift.
Yeah, yeah. It is for both of us.
Yes, absolutely. Maybe you can do a collaboration someday. That'd be kind of fun.
That would be.
Mm-hmm. See, it gave you something else to do. All righty. Well, now let's talk about SLS. The digital age, you say, is affecting the human body. And if you own a computer, television, and cell phone, you are likely suffering with the rest of us from sedentary lifestyle syndrome, SLS. Your book, Overcome Your Sedentary Lifestyle, A Practical Guide to Improving Health, Fitness, and Well-Being for Desk Dwellers and Couch Potatoes, is your debut nonfiction title, Holistic Living Self-Help Book, written to motivate readers toward a more balanced and active lifestyle. So tell us a bit about the book and why you feel it's important for people to know this.
Well, again, as a healthcare provider, I was a physical therapy assistant for 20 years before I became a massage therapist and personal trainer and yoga instructor. So I had lots of tips to offer my clients, and they would come in and say, you know, you really need to put this in a book. You have so many great ideas of how to take care of yourself. And since I was already writing, I didn't really have an excuse not to do that anymore. So I sat down and I started writing the book with today's lifestyle in mind, because so many people come into my office with rounded shoulders, forward head from the sitting posture and the computer work that they're doing, and lots of neck problems and back problems. And that is across the board, like one of the biggest threats to our health these days is being sedentary. It has long-reaching consequences. And I felt that, you know, this type of book was much needed, and it's a holistic approach. So it kind of, you know, goes into, prevention and choosing your healthcare team, how to find people to help you treat your body in a holistic way, the importance of sleep, ergonomics, exercise basics, and treatment and self-care things that you can do for yourself at home to manage your aches and pains and muscle soreness, and also even some stress management tips. So it was a little bit of everything and kind of a one-stop shop for healthy living. But it was a good time for that book.
Absolutely. You mentioned the digital age, and I like that you used the word desk dwellers and didn't just talk about couch potatoes, because it's not about just laying down watching television. I mean, there's a lot of people that are obviously doing a lot of work, but a desk dweller is the perfect name for that. And when you mentioned the rounded shoulders and the head forward, I feel that myself and always have neck pain just because we are sitting in front of these computer screens all of the time.
Exactly. And even when you're not on a computer screen, you have, your iPad or your phone, and your head is forward and down. You know, our eyes are just glued to screens all the time these days. And the average person spends 6 to 8 hours a day sitting or in a static position. So it's gotten really bad now. And I'm seeing it on my table and at work, and I'm seeing it just even when I go to the store and things. I'm such a people watcher. That person's spending too much time sitting. Oh, they've got a knee problem. Oh, they've got a hip problem. I can see it a mile away. So I see it on every front.
You should just start passing out cards and say, I know you've got a problem with your knee. Call me.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Now there's a lot to talk about here because of technology. And as you very well pointed out, all you have to do is look around and everybody is gazing head down at their screen.
Yeah, and if you think about it, the weight of your head is about 10 to 12 pounds. Mm-hmm. Most people have a head that weighs that much. So if you take that and it's like holding a bowling ball in front of you. If you hold it in close to you, it doesn't weigh very much. But if you hold it out in front of you a few inches, it weighs a lot. Mm-hmm. So the weight of your head on your shoulders, if your ear is not over your shoulder and your shoulder over your hip in good alignment and good posture, the weight of your head is putting a tremendous amount of strain on those neck muscles and on your spine. And over time, that creates all kinds of muscle imbalances and, physical health problems.
So those listening, if they have neck pain or back pain, that's one first quick fix they can look for, right?
Absolutely, mm-hmm. Yep, is just sitting up straight, checking in with your posture throughout the day. I tell people all the time, your best tool is called mindfulness. It's that coming back to your body, because we're always focused outward. We're focused on the computer. We're focused on our task in front of us. But if you take a deep breath and you bring your awareness to your body, you'll start to feel, oh, yeah, oh, gosh, my neck is tight. My shoulders are rounded. Let me fix that. And it's an easy fix. You sit up tall, you take a few deep breaths, and then you go back to work. So it's not like you have to, upend your entire life to take care of yourself. It's just these small little things that you can do differently that will have a huge impact on your overall well-being and health.
And so often you want to reach for an aspirin or some kind of pain reliever when maybe we just need to readjust or rethink or, as you say, be mindful of the way we are carrying ourselves throughout the day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a section in the book called Treatment and Self-Care, and I give a few really great tools in the book about like a back buddy. It's this S-shaped hook. You've probably seen them in the stores, the S-shaped hook with the little ball on, the little protruding balls on it. And you can just, tuck that over your shoulder blade and work on those knot spots in your shoulder blade with that, a couple of times a week. And it's like having your own massage therapist right in your home. Mm-hmm. When you are sitting at your desk or you're sitting and watching TV, you can work on yourself, and it helps a lot.
Same with those body rollers. Somebody gave me that as a gift.
Yep, you lay foam roller.
Foam rollers, that's, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the other one that I recommend to people. And there's even, if you go to everything on YouTube, you can find anything on YouTube. You can go to YouTube and type in foam roller exercises, and there's a whole bunch of different things that you can do with the foam roller for your back, your neck, your hips to relieve tension in the muscles and help realign the spine and balance those muscles out.
I think you have a bit in your book about some questions that folks could ask if they feel that they're suffering from SLS. Do you have those handy, or you probably know them by heart? Maybe share some of those questions that we should ask ourselves.
Yeah, do you sit for at least 6 to 8 hours a day without adequate breaks? Most of us do. If you have a desk job of any kind, you're doing that. Have you gained significant weight from lack of exercise and poor nutrition? Do you suffer from headaches, fatigue, listlessness, and lack of motivation? And have you been diagnosed with one or more health issues aggravated by prolonged sitting and lack of movement? Things like obesity, depression, heart disease, diabetes, and metabolic syndrome. All of those things can be reversed through just, doing the right things for ourselves, eating the right foods, and perhaps taking supplements, and perhaps getting a little more activity and watching our posture and all of those things. Even readjusting your workstation. Ergonomics is a huge part of us taking care of ourselves. If we have to spend that much time at our desks, then we need to make sure that our computer setup is correct. It's done correctly. And there's some tips for that in the book as well.
All right. That's in your book as well. You mentioned food. You also have a place on your website called PJ's Pantry. Give us your website now. We'll grab it again later. And then let's talk about food.
Okay. It's www.pjsharon.com. So there's a section on there called PJ's Pantry. And those are just, go-to healthy kind of foods and snacks that I recommend to people for easy ways to improve their nutrition. Most people are stuck on what they can't eat. I have to not eat sugar. I have to not eat fats. I have to not eat this. I take the approach of what you can eat and what you should eat. And that change of thinking allows you to introduce lots of different kinds of foods into your diet that you might not normally gravitate to, but if you're eating the right foods and eating enough of them, then you're not going to crave the other things, and you're not going to, be hungry for lots of sugary foods if you're eating a good amount of fruits and vegetables and other things. So go with what you can eat, not what you can't eat.
Right. And also, I'm sure, just be mindful when you're shopping not to purchase those things, so then when it comes crunch time and you think, oh my gosh, I have to have a Coke or I need potato chips, well, they're not there.
Yeah. The not having it in the house is really helpful. Mm-hmm. The biggest mistake people make is they go to the store hungry.
Yes.
The common sense stuff.
Absolutely. But I think it warrants attention. And so that is included on your website as well. So, and also on your website, in keeping with your interest in teens, you say that the teen years, more than any other time in life, is chock full of imbalances. And I think we can all agree to that. So you also have some healthy teen tips. Maybe share a few with us.
one of the things that I see a lot with teens is the rounded shoulders and forward head, the terrible posture. Part of that is, you know, they're trying to kind of disappear. They don't want to stand out. So, and they're, you know, embarrassed about the changes that are happening in their body. So they'll tend to have slumpy posture anyway. If they're, and they go through a growth spurt where they're getting taller very quickly, and that creates muscle imbalances where the muscles can't quite keep up with the bone growth. So it's pulling on them all the time. So they always have that kind of look about them like they're just kind of folding in on themselves. You add to that too much screen time, and now you've got lots of problems that are getting set up for them. Things like then adding a heavy backpack is a big problem.
Yes.
Put that on top of it, and it, you've got kids with neck and back problems. So keeping their backpacks light as possible, is helpful. Packing snacks that are healthy. If kids get hungry and they get very fatigued and they, you know, lose their attention span and things like that, and they don't really eat terribly nutritious foods in school. So just packing a good, healthy granola bar, one that isn't loaded with sugar. Those are tough to find, but you can find them, protein bars, making sure that they're getting a good amount of protein rather than going to the calorie-laden snacks that are lots of preservatives and additives and things like that, trying to keep them away from that kind of stuff. And checking in daily with them. You know, we so easily, you know, our kids come in and they're stressed, we're tired, we're just rushing around trying to get them to the next class that they have to go to or the next thing that they have to do and feed them. But instead of saying, you know, don't you love when you get the one word answer, you know, you say, how was school? Fine. Fine. You get the fine answer. It's instead, ask them, tell me about your day. You know, think of ways to engage them in conversation where they feel free to share the information. Mm-hmm. You know, what was your favorite part of your day? Or who did you sit with at lunch? You know, specific questions that they can't just answer yes or no to. Those are great ways of engaging them. And then, you know, also keeping them off of their devices for periods of time, setting those, you know, between 5 and 7 p.m., you can come to me with any problem and I will not tell you what to do. And this is the period of time when you are not going to be on your device. So find a book to read or something constructive to do, get your homework done during that time. But really set aside those times when you're engaged with them and not just allowing them to go hibernate in their room with their iPads for hours on end.
I love that piece of advice because it has to actually retrain the parent as well, because you're telling the child no screen time between 5 and 7. And meantime, everybody's sitting at the dinner table on their own device and nobody's speaking and no one's paying attention. So it really is a whole family lifestyle change as well.
Yeah, my son has done a wonderful thing in his home. He has a docking station for all of their electronic devices. And everybody puts their electronic device on the docking station at 5 o'clock, you know, when everybody's home and getting ready for dinner. They go on, you know, it goes on the docking station and it doesn't come off until, you know, 7 o'clock. And then the kids get a half hour, you know, half hour, 45 minutes or whatever, if they've done all their homework and got everything done that they need to do. You know, so they have some, you know, they have some structure around it and setting boundaries around it. And
absolutely.
I think that's really, really helpful.
I agree. I mean, it still is all about parenting. So, I think a lot of times parents these days forget about that. And everybody's, like you say, so stressed. Everyone's running around doing their own thing. As long as the child is quiet, it's like, don't worry about him. That's really not in their best interest. So thank you for saying that.
Yeah. Happy to support good boundaries with kids. We need lots of that.
Absolutely. Because without boundaries, we have consequences. And so bad health is one of those consequences. You mentioned earlier about healthcare team and how to find somebody who gets it or makes sense. Any advice there?
Yeah, I have a whole chapter on that because I have found, oh my gosh, you know, I saved my life to have a good healthcare team. Everyone should have a massage once a month. If you can't afford to have a massage once a month, do it every 6 weeks or every 2 months or even every 3 months. You know, do it quarterly, like you change your oil in your car. Tune up your body. So having somebody that's going to look at your body every month or every 6 weeks or whatever on that periodic level, it will catch the things that you miss during the year in between your yearly physicals. you know, if you're only going to the doctor once a year, you know, you have all kinds of ups and downs in that during that year that you may not see the doctor for. But if you have regular appointments with an acupuncturist, a chiropractor, a massage therapist, those kind of people in your life that are looking at you on a regular basis and giving you those tune-ups, then, you know, you're going to get sick less. You're not going to run into those big blowouts when bad things happen. And it just is a way for you, again, to be mindful of your health care and your well-being. And finding those health care professionals is you go to professional sites. You know, for a massage therapist, you go to the American Massage Therapy Association website, and they will help you to find a licensed massage therapist in your area. Same with chiropractic, same with acupuncture. They have the website, and you can go and try to find people who are certified or licensed in your area. Another way is to get recommendations from friends. You know, a lot of people are getting massage these days. So if, you know one of your friends is getting massage therapy, ask them, who do you see? And you may have to try lots of different professionals to see who best suits your needs, because everybody's different. No other person gives a massage the same way that I do. So if I am not meeting someone's need, I will tell them, we'll try somebody else. And I have a list of providers that I recommend people to go to see. So it's really important, I think, to find those healthcare professionals that will oversee your general well-being throughout the year, not just your once a year or once every other year or once every 5 years for some people. You know, they just don't even take care of the once a year thing. But if they're going to get massages on a regular basis, you actually have somebody that's looking at you and looking at your skin and right. And giving you health care advice throughout the year. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of those things do cost out of pocket. You have to decide what's most important to address and to do on a regular basis. You know, for the cost of dinner and a movie, you know, the $80 it would cost you to go out on a weekend, it's worth it to get the massage rather than the dinner. I'll skip the dinner and movie and go get my massage.
Right, right. Just plan for it.
Yeah. You know, you have to feel valuable enough to invest in your health.
Thank you. Wow, you're offering so many good tips and pointers here today.
That's why I put them all in the book, because there's a lot of stuff to think about. And it's tough to keep it all in the forefront in our minds. We have very busy lives, and it is hard to take care of ourselves, and it's like a full-time job to stay healthy.
Absolutely, and I like that you call it a SLS, a sedentary lifestyle syndrome, because that's what it is.
Yeah, and you know, people will look at the book and say, oh, I'm not that sedentary, I'm really busy, and I'm like, I know, but you still need the book, because you gotta, look at the things that are in there. There's stress management techniques, talks about meditation, and, you know, different ways that you can just incorporate small changes into your life to help you to stay healthier overall.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Any other chapters that we should touch on today?
Let's see. Stuff in here about making and breaking habits, because we all have terrible habits. And they get ingrained in us and entrenched, and then we don't feel like we can change them. You know, we feel kind of stuck in our way of being. So there's some great tips about how to take control of that. There's a really great section in here on different types of exercises. There's stretching exercises, strengthening exercises, and they're not difficult. There's some really simple ones you can even do in sitting at your desk, just to stretch out your neck, your shoulders, your back, your hips. Yeah, and I guess the importance of sleep is one of my favorite chapters,
too,
because I am famous for burning the candle at both ends. I'm a busy writer and, you know, business owner. So I will stay up till midnight, and I'm up at 6 a.m., and then I go, what did I do that for? So, you know, it's setting some boundaries for ourselves, even as adults, to say, you know, no, you really need to go to bed at 10 o'clock and get a good night's sleep.
Absolutely.
At least a few nights a week. So those kind of things. And there's a great section in the very back with some smoothie recipes and some nice healthy snack recipes that I recommend to people.
So this book is chock full of things we need to pay attention to. I mean, you don't have to be a black belt in karate like you. There's some simple things that we can do to stay out of the healthcare system, basically.
Yes. And, you know, and even if, you know, If you have the opportunity to see a naturopath, a naturopathic doctor, they will give you a ton of those kind of easy to incorporate changes that will keep you healthy all the time.
All right. So what's next for you?
So I'm working on the fourth novella in a series. It's called Savage Cinderella series. That particular book did really well when it first came out, 2012. It won a Holt Medallion Award, which was kind of a fairly prestigious award
yes.
in the adult community. So I decided to continue on with that character. I put that book up on Wattpad, which is a reader site where readers can go and read books for free. And it now has like 3.8 million reads, I think.
Oh, my.
So, yeah. And I still get lots of great comments from readers about that story. So I decided to write a series of novellas based on that character. So I'm still working on that and just enjoying my granddaughter and enjoying life and trying to stay healthy.
I think you're doing a great job at managing it all. And then to be able to share that with others is truly a gift. So I appreciate the opportunity to share you and learn from you today. So I know we skipped around some things. Is there anything we missed, though, that you wanted to bring up today?
No, I think that's it. We covered a lot. Thank you so much for having me and for allowing me to share your space on the air.
My gosh, it's my pleasure. There's just so much more to know about this topic. I do talk about this occasionally on my personal shows, and I really talk about the use of technology on the shows. So this fits in very well with my listening audience, too. So we mentioned your website. Where else can folks go then to learn more about you and purchase your books?
That book is available on Amazon, and you can go to my Amazon Author Central page or just go to Amazon and type in PJ Sharon and you'll find me. You can also follow me on Facebook. I have PJ Sharon Books is my Facebook page. And I have contests and things like that going on all the time there and some fun things to do. So I hope folks find me.
Website again is pjsharon.com. Well, PJ, any final words before we say goodbye?
Well, I guess I will just tell your listeners to, instead of trying to fit exercise into your life, fit your life into exercise.
Whoa. That's a good one. The title of your book is Overcome Your Sedentary Lifestyle by PJ Sharon. Find it at pjsharon.com or at Amazon. PJ, what a pleasure to have you here today, and we probably should do this again sometime.
I would love to. Thank you so much, Pat.